This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Hello and welcome to Well, Tex and Jill with you this evening from the Health Promotion Program at the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre. And we have just listened to I Thought You Were My Boyfriend by the Magnetic Fields. Thanks as always to the All That False Instruction team for another great show, who I believe also played some Magnetic Fields. They're making a few trips on the turntable this evening. Tex, how are you?
Jill, I'm really good tonight. Really good, actually.
Any reason or just happy to be with me again?
Well, I'm always happy to be with you, Jill. Well, it's winter in Melbourne and there's a bit of rain, so there's some water going into my tank. Really, really happy about that.
Good.
What else is small wonderful needs about today? It's Thursday, which makes it pretty special anyway, because I'm here with you. Now, Jilly,
so flattered.
What's on the show tonight, Tom?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked, Tex. We will be starting off by looking at some newsy items, specifically things that have come out of the AIDS conference in Vienna, which is very exciting. Then we will be having a chat with Ilan Werbeloff, who looks after one of the campaigns at the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre called Staying Negative. Plus, we will be having a bit of a look at events and things that are happening around town.
Mm-hmm.
But Tex, what we do like, what we really, really enjoy, is we like to hear from our listener. So how can they possibly get in contact with us if they wanted to?
Well, there are three options, as always, Jill. We have the telephone line, which is 1300-JOY-949, or that's 1300-569-949, and that way you can get to speak to the gorgeous Gordon, who is out there ready to answer the call, a wonderful program support person. And there's also the option of emailing us, and that's pretty simple, onair@joy.org.au, or, and that comes right to us right in the studio, as do SMSs. And the SMS address, I guess, or the number, is 0427-JOY-949 or 0427-569-949.
Now, Tex,
yes,
first things first, we're doing some newsy items, so we're going to shuffle bits of paper to
shuffle away, Tom.
Jason's very big on the shuffling of bits of paper. Mm. You're not quite so much.
No.
Anyway, coming out of, now this really is cutting edge kind of stuff, news just to hand, well, in the last few days anyway, because it all is very up-to-date stuff that's come out of the AIDS conference in Vienna. One of which is that leading figures in the global AIDS response having a meeting in Vienna, and they're focusing on rapidly increasing rates of HIV among gay men and other men who have sex with men, or MSM, and on the pressing need to promote broad access to HIV prevention, treatment and care for MSM worldwide. Now, this is a media briefing, so it was actually going, it's actually already happened.
Yep, it happened on Tuesday, I think, Jill.
It did, at 1 p.m, actually, Tex. But I just think it's, they were going to be looking at strategies to reverse the stigma, discrimination, human rights abuses and lack of targeted services that are leading to rapidly increasing HIV infection rates among MSM. And MSM, because MSM in low and middle income countries are 19 times, that's a frightening number, 19 times more likely to be infected with HIV than the general population, yet only 1 in 5 has access to the HIV prevention, care and treatment services that they need.
Yeah, look, it's really quite distressing when you read something like that, when you think of what we have here in the West, in Australia. We don't have any major problems in accessing anything, do we?
No. We don't. Well, for most of us. Some of us, it's a bit more of a struggle for some than others. In severely regional areas, it's a bit more of a struggle. But you're right. I mean, comparatively, we have it pretty easy.
Yeah. I mean, I was interested. There's a quote which has come out from the incoming president of the International AIDS Society, Kelly Katabrina, and she said that discrimination against men who have sex with men is not limited to any one area of the world and the failure to respect human rights of men who have sex with men and to integrate them and to integrate into the communities of men who have sex with men needs evidence-based HIV prevention efforts. And that's the driver, if you like, of the epidemic in every global region.
Mm. So it'll be interesting to see what, as a result of that, and I dare say when Jason gets back, our co-host,
oh, indeed, yes.
He will have a raft of knowledge about many of these issues. And yeah.
And I guess many more as well, because we can only get a little tidbit of the information of stuff which is covered during the conference. There are lots of things that happened, and especially when you're at conferences, so many of the stories you hear are in the downtime, the in-between time, morning tea, afternoon tea, lunchtime, etc. When people network, chat, and just do the, oh, good day, my name's X, what do you do, where do you work, and you know, we find out what's happening, not always what's happening as in what's presented in conferences, but really the background story to some of the stuff as well.
Yeah, yep. The context of that.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what comes of that. But I just think the fact that they're actually having that sort of conference, well, not conference, but that part of the conference in the first instance is interesting. And, I'll be grilling Jason to see what the result is.
Oh, look, don't worry, we'll have him over a slow burner.
Poor old Jason. In further news, and this really was very exciting, this is, again, that came out of the conference in Vienna. Trials were done on 889 South African women looking at a new gel that can be used vaginally to prevent HIV, and the results have been pretty phenomenal. It's the first evidence that an ARV-based prevention strategy can reduce risk of HIV infection among HIV-negative people. And the trial asked whether a topical gel applied vaginally within 12 hours before and after sex reduced women's risk of acquiring HIV via vaginal sex.
And I think one of the really interesting things about this is that we know that in developing countries especially, women have so much trouble in the negotiation of sex, often with their husbands, but also just generally with people they may be having sex with. It's very difficult at times for a woman to say, I need you to wear a condom, or it's not culturally appropriate for a woman to actually stand up and say, look, please can you use a condom? I want to protect myself. I want to protect you. But with the development of this gel, which a woman can apply to herself, often without the man knowing, because it's not going to interrupt the sexual act. It's not going to interrupt what they're doing with each other.
Exactly.
But it's going to provide, hopefully, if the tests do pan out and the continued research pans out, it's actually going to provide some basic protection for women all around the world, but especially in developing countries. And this has created quite a storm in the media. I've seen it in the local print media, not necessarily gay and lesbian media, but actually the mainstream media, and also on radio, and I've heard it on TV as well. So it's created quite a storm, and in fact the paper that we're reading this off heads it as a milestone moment in HIV prevention.
Yeah. Well, the results were pretty astonishing. There were 39% fewer infections among women who received 1% of this gel compared to women who received the placebo gel. So there were two groups. There was the women who actually had the gel and another group who had kind of fake gel.
Yeah, well, the placebo is basically just gel without the active ingredient.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So pretty phenomenal results there. And obviously they're going to be doing further tests to see whether and what its effectiveness is like amongst adolescents and pregnant women, and for those in using it rectally as well. So big news.
Big news, and as always, we'll have more big news, same station, same time, next Thursday night here on Well, Well,
exactly.
Well.
Exactly.
But right now, you are listening to Well, Well, Well with Jill and Tex on Joy 94.9.
Hi, I'm Senior Constable Alex Watson, the Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officer at the Northcote Police Station. Did you know that gay men are more likely to call the police for help than lesbians? Victoria Police are committed to ensuring we serve all of the community. Victoria Police have a number of gay and lesbian liaison officers operating throughout the state. Let's work together to keep our community safe. For more information, visit police.vic.gov.au or contact your nearest police station. In an emergency, always call 000.
And that was a song with an ending.
And Jill, can I just say, that was a really beautiful song.
Oh, good. Tex, I'm glad you enjoyed
it. It's a lovely song. It's going to lead into a lovely conversation, I reckon.
I reckon you're right.
Yeah.
It's a little Aussie band, Parallel Lines. Uh-huh. Anyway, joining Tex and I in the studio this evening is the lovely Ilan Werbeloff, who manages a health campaign from the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre called Staying Negative. Ilan, welcome to Well, Well, Well.
Thanks, Jill. How are you tonight?
I'm well, thank you very much. Now, Ilan, before we get into the campaign itself, a little bit about you. How long have you been at the Victorian AIDS Council for?
I've been at the Victorian AIDS Council for quite a while. I think just over 4 years all up. I used to volunteer at the centre clinic when I was younger, and then I kind of moved around into fundraising and peer education and a few other bits and pieces here and there until I started working in the health promotion team in 2009.
Right. And what made you want to volunteer in the first instance?
When I came out, I did the young and gay course, and when I finished, one of my facilitators suggested I become a facilitator. So I called up VAC and asked if I could do the facilitator training, but I was told that they only do the training every 2 years. So rather than sit around for 2 years and wait for someone to call me, I figured I'd kind of do something in the meantime. And so I kind of started my volunteering at the centre clinic.
Good on you.
Now, Ilan, moving on to the campaign. Now, that's why we've got you in the hot seat to talk about the campaign. How exactly would you describe Staying Negative? What's it all about?
Staying Negative is a website that uses people's real-life stories to promote sexual health. It's a website where you can read about other gay and bisexual men telling their life stories and experiences as they kind of navigate their way through the world. So this, you know, includes a lot of covers a wide range of topics. So you've got coming out, realizing you were gay, we've got people who talk about being married and gay, people from culturally and linguistically diverse backgrounds, as well as religion and sexuality, amongst other things.
Yep.
So we then kind of put these stories into a narrative of their lives, and then we put lots of information and referrals through it as well where appropriate.
Fantastic. Now, was there a reason for this campaign, why it began in the first instance? I mean, how did it begin? And also, I guess, how long has it been running?
Well, it's been running since about 2004, 2005, and by now it has over 50 men on the site. I guess it just aimed to engage people through the use of storytelling as a medium to, I guess, help promote safer sex and condom usage. So we were kind of looking for a way to a different way to engage people in order to achieve behavioural change. You know, there's a lot of awareness in the community already about the need for using condoms, etc. So we thought we would try and identify what other barriers there might be getting in the way of people using condoms.
Mm, interesting.
Okay. Now, Ilan, why do you think men feel a need to tell their stories? And then I suppose moving on from that, why do men like to read them?
Well, it's kind of a timely question because we recently finished an evaluation of the campaign.
All right. Yep.
So a lot of the gentlemen in the evaluation indicated that they told their story because they wanted to help us out and they felt good contributing to the community. And also, I guess when I interview men, it's usually one of my questions, and I ask them what their reason is for telling their story. So there's generally a bit in their narratives about why each specific participant has chosen to share their story. So I guess if you would like to know more, read the stories. just for a shameless plug. Yeah. But I think guys like to read the stories because they're funny and interesting. You know, we have some really quite different stories out there. You know, I think one of the funniest bits of the stories that I've transcribed or written recently was one of the participants, Keegan, who talks about using shampoo instead of lube. So
it's not really what we at the Victorian Oaks Council game.
It's certainly not something we promote, but it is a bit of a funny read.
So they're quite human stories, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like that, you know, these are the lived experiences. So it's not about, I guess, finding people who have done the right thing and et cetera. It's just about what people
real
have
people
actually
having
done.
Having real experiences.
Yeah, exactly. So so they can be quite entertaining, and it's just a way to explore, I don't know, life through someone else's eyes.
Sure. And where do you find the men who tell their story?
Just anywhere.
In the shampoo aisle, I guess.
Yeah, in the shampoo aisle, definitely. There's a lot hanging there. Well, look, I initially when I started the project, I tried to find people who were a bit more prominent in the community. So I guess I looked to the winner of the Australia-New Zealand leather competition. And then I went back, you know, to last year's winner, and people who just, I guess, have a bit of a community profile. Okay. But I guess that, you know, was purely an ease of access. It was quite easy to find them, identify them and ask them. But really just anyone from the community. We don't have kind of a criteria on what we look for in participants, just as long as they identify as either gay or bisexual or men who have sex with men, I guess.
No, Alan, we'll be getting the website address later so that people will be able to run from listening to the show to read some of these fantastic stories. But you mentioned that there's some common themes which come up, like coming out and people's first sexual experience. Are there any other recurrent themes that come out?
Yeah, certainly. One of the big ones is religion and sexuality. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously it's something that a lot of people have felt quite torn about in their stories, as well as, you know, isolation or, you know, dealing with homophobia. You know, there's a few kind of common threads like that. Obviously the big ones are coming out as well. But, I guess the thing that's really great about the stories is those common themes illustrate that, you know, despite the fact that we all come from different backgrounds and different families and have different experiences, there's a lot of commonality amongst our experiences and things that we kind of share.
And I suppose it's sort of putting it in the context of thinking that you're the only one who might have done, you know, kooky stuff or been afraid to tell your parents that you're gay or, you know, had a slip up and you've had to get pep or whatever it is. So I guess it's that thing as well of going, well, I'm actually not alone. There are other people out there just like me.
Well, exactly. It certainly combats that isolation theme that, you know, keeps coming up. So it's a good way to kind of be able to relate your own life to other people's experiences and see how other people have managed similar situations.
Mm. So if there's a section in someone's storyline that needs expanding, for example, say somebody is talking about having unprotected sex, is there further information that can be found about this on the site?
Yeah, there's a lot of that. That what we call click-throughs, which are basically just little links with a bit of text and a referral. So in the example that you talked about, if someone's talking about, you know, they've had unprotected sex and they're freaking out, and they're, you know, concerned that they might have contracted something, then we'll put in a link for something like PEP, which will, you know, talk about what PEP is, post-exposure prophylaxis, and how they can obtain it or get hold of it.
Fantastic. Well, that's good that people aren't sort of left hanging going, well, what is this? What's this person talking about? There's some sort of linkage there. Ilan, we're just going to have a little bit of a short break and listen to some glorious music because I chose it.
Jill, it's sure to be glorious music, isn't it, if you've chosen it? Because so far tonight, I've been really happy with the music.
Oh, good. Well, I think you might be about to change your mind by track three, but we'll see how we go. But Ilan, we'd love you to stick around so we can keep having a bit more of a chat with you. You are listening to Well, Well, Well with Jill and Tex on Joy 94.9.
Hai voglia di associarti con altre donne italiane? Arci Lesbica Australia is a social support group for Italian-Australian women who identify as lesbian, bisexual, gay, trans, intersex or queer. Arci Lesbica Australia holds regular events aimed at enriching our identity as non-heterosexual Italian-Australian women. Collegamento fra donne di origine italiana. Call 0408 137 037 or online at arcilesbicaaustralia.org.
Positive Women is a support and advocacy organisation working with women living with HIV/AIDS. Positive Women recognise the individual needs of these women and provide them with a safe and comfortable environment that is completely confidential. To find out more information, go to positivewomen.org.au.
Hello there, this is funny lady Judith Lucy and you're listening to Joy 94.9. Well, you'd be crazy to listen to anything else.
Oh, indeed.
You would be. And
come back in the studio.
I just saw the name of the track. The track was called St. John by Cold War Kids. And Tex, you didn't like John.
Well, if the bang crash had been in time with the rest of the gorgeous music, it would have been much more lovely.
Oh, I love your musings. Your musings about the music. Right, Tex, back to business.
Back to business.
If you have just joined us, we are chatting with Ilan Werbeloff from the Staying Negative campaign from the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre. Now, Ilan, continuing on from where we left off, are there only stories on there about staying HIV negative, or are there stories on there about positive guys too? I mean, the campaign could potentially be seen as isolating positive people or, I guess, putting negative people on some sort of a pedestal.
Yep. It's certainly been some criticism of that in the past because, obviously, there are people who do feel like the site does that. But we do have a few men on the site that are HIV positive and, you know, to be perfectly frank, I'd love to have more. You know, I think it's important to recognise that the site is about learning from each other's experiences. So regardless of whether someone's HIV positive or HIV negative, they still have valuable experiences which we can learn from and connect with. You know, they still go through the same things that we go through, but they also go through things that we don't go through. So I think, you know, having them on the site adds a lot of richness and value to the stories. So putting negative people on a pedestal and isolating HIV positive men has never been an aim of the campaign. It's more about just promoting people's, I guess, decision making process to actively maintain their HIV negative status.
Right.
Okay, now, Ilan, do you have any women on the site telling their stories as well, or is all the stories from men?
This project focuses specifically on men, as the epidemic in Victoria is predominantly amongst men who have sex with men. So whilst I think that the site would be fantastic and useful to women, this project isn't actually funded for that. So we kind of leave that to the other support services like Straight Arrows and Positive Women to kind of pick up the slack there.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough, Ilan. I guess there's always restrictions around funding and, you know, where your money has to go because of contractual requirements. I struggle saying that's contractual requirements. but you mentioned earlier about touched a little bit on the fact that the campaign's just been evaluated. What was some of the other feedback that you maybe would have got from that process?
Well, I guess, you know, the evaluation kind of provided a wealth of feedback about how people perceive the campaign and the site, and thankfully most of it was quite positive. And one thing, you know, one comment that I kind of remember was someone in one of our focus groups who said that, you know, we've heard wearing a condom a million times. We've heard that you should wear a condom a million times. But the good thing about the campaign is that it talks about the struggles that people have with that. And I thought that was a really good way of summing up the campaign, really. So people seem to find it quite useful. They find that it takes a different approach to HIV prevention, and they seem to really respond well to that. And people also indicated in the feedback that they really like the sexual health information, found it quite useful. So
that's good.
There you go.
Now, for the listener at home, or perhaps in their car or wherever they happen to be listening to Joy, it could be anywhere in the world, who's listening here to the show and thinking they'd like to share their story, but they're thinking, oh, look, my story's a bit dull, I'm not too excited, I'm not a Mr. World Leather, I'm not a Mr. This or that. What would you say to them to encourage them to actually get involved and to share their story?
Well, it's actually one of the... another thing that came out of the evaluation is a lot of people did feel like that, and I guess it's... All I have to say is that, you know, you may think your story is dull, but other people might not and probably won't. I used to be a participant on the Staying Negative site, and that was certainly something I thought about my experiences, but, you know, I'm not going to say whether they were or weren't interesting, but...
I
thought they were.
And they obviously were, because I got put up there. So,
it did get put up, people's lives are never boring, and people will still always have had relevant and interesting experiences. And, you know, a good example would be, I guess, if I were to interview someone who, you know, had never had sex and was completely isolated and hadn't engaged with the gay community, then there might be someone else who might read that story
and relate to it.
So,
sure.
You can never tell what other people will find interesting or not.
Absolutely. That's a very good point. So how can the listener get involved with the campaign?
Well, it's really quite easy. If they want to get involved in the campaign, they can either go onto the website and there's a, you know, what's your story or a feedback section where they can give their details and contact me, or they can phone us on 9865 6700 and ask to speak to Ilan, or they can email me at Ilan_Werbeloff, that's Werbeloff, because no one knows how to spell it, at vicaids.asn.au.
Fantastic. And we will make sure that we repeat those details again at the end of the show, Ilan.
And Ilan, just before you go, what is the website?
The website is www.stayingnegative.com.au.
So staying negative, all one word, stayingnegative.com.au.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much for coming in this evening, Ilan. I must say that I've been on the site myself and read several of the stories, and I'm constantly struck by how honesty they are, and it's always refreshing to hear people's, you know, human experiences. So good on you for the work that you do, and thanks again for joining us in the studio this evening.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Anaya Day, and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
Tex, what did you think of that one?
I actually liked that one. It was a bit boppy and had a little bit of a beat, and didn't have any crashing drums and cymbals in the background that were out of time with the rest of the song. So, yes, I loved it, Jill.
Thanks. I'm just going to share with the listener what you actually said, which was during the track when I said, do you like this one? And you said, I do. It's quiet. Which is very true. Well, if you'd like to track down that track, and I'm sure that you will because it was fantastic, it was called I'd Rather Dance With You Than Talk With You by Kings of Convenience, which I think is just fantastic. Anyway, Now, Tex, yes, we're moving on to a few snippety bits.
Yeah, a few snippety bits of information. This first one's quite interesting, isn't it?
It is. If you haven't had a chance yet to see Clap Eyes on the latest edition of Southern Star, it is front page news, so it is kind of, you can't really miss it if you've got yourself a copy. But it's a fairly serious situation that occurred on Sunday, July the 4th. A staff member was leaving Wet on Wellington, and for those of you who might not know, Wet on Wellington is a gay sauna.
Mm-hmm. Gay men's sauna.
In Collingwood. And a staff member was actually, as he was leaving at approximately 9:30 in the evening, was walking down Peel Street, or walking along Peel Street towards Smith Street, and he got beaten up by three men who actually had baseball bats.
That's really, I mean, it's a dreadful story, but when you think about three men who are premeditated, obviously.
Exactly.
Because there was no baseball happening. They had baseball bats and they were out looking for trouble.
Yeah, and they obviously knew the location. They knew everything there was to know. I just think it's appalling, and I really wanted to make a point of talking about this on tonight's show, because obviously it could have been anyone leaving. I don't know if they particularly knew this particular staff member who was leaving. Maybe they were just waiting for anyone to leave.
Yep.
So it does bring about the point of sort of raising awareness regarding people's safety. Mm-hmm. If you're out and about, take care. I mean, the article does make some really good salient points, and says one point in particular, saying if you know, basically trust your instincts. If you're feeling like you aren't in a particularly safe space, or there's someone behind you who might be getting a bit too close, or whatever it is, get somewhere light, start fiddling with your phone, do whatever it is that can kind of distract perhaps the person behind you, or feel safe again.
Yeah, quite often it can be as simple as walking on the side of the street that has street lights.
Yep.
Or in some streets, walking down the middle of the street.
In the middle of the street, absolutely, Tex.
I'm not ashamed to say that I've felt uncomfortable, actually, particularly in that area, in Collingwood, and I've done exactly that because there are so many gay and lesbian venues in that area.
Mm.
There's a concentration of them in Collingwood, so I suppose they were thinking, oh, yeah, right pickings.
Yeah.
Let's go.
And in that particular section as well, where Wet on Wellington is, it is kind of, it's quite an industrial area. There's not a load of bars and stuff around it. So I can imagine that after dark, it's not potentially, there's not a lot of people milling around.
No, and of course,
like Brunswick Street or something.
If it was daytime, funnily enough, there would be lots of police around, because the police garage is across the road from Wet on Wellington, so it's where they take their cars to be serviced. So it's a strange area. It's part nightclub, part clubs, part residential, and as you've said, part light industrial as well.
Yeah. So I guess, and also just to reiterate, which we do talk about a lot here on Well, if you are ever feeling in danger, or you know, you have a act of violence towards you, you can always phone a GLOW officer, which is a gay and lesbian officer.
You can, but of course, in the heat of the moment, it's usually much easier just to dial 000, which is what the police say to do. Or there is the number for the gay and lesbian liaison officers, Jill, and what's that?
It's 92476944. And if, for whatever reason, it doesn't get answered, you can leave a message. So the other option is you can go online if you don't want to particularly talk to somebody, but you do want to report something that may have occurred. You can you can go online and log on to www.antiviolence, all one word, antiviolence.info, and report any mishappenings there.
Yeah, so just that phone number for the gay and lesbian liaison officers is 92476944, or you can go to the Victoria Police website. There's a link directly from within that website into the gay and lesbian liaison officers.
Yep. Please take care, people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Jill.
Tex.
I believe you, I know where you got those details from.
Share.
The Also Directory. Now, we talk about the Also Directory directory almost every week because it is such a bible of information.
It is.
So for details about loads of organisations and groups and support services, and also lots of gay-friendly businesses, plumbers, carpenters, all sorts of florists, everything under the sun, really, or everything under the rainbow, check out the Also Directory. Now, you can get hard copies of the book from venues and gay-friendly shops, or you can check it out online. Quite easy. You just go to the Also website, which is ALSO.org.au. And then when you're on the site, which has heaps of information anyway, just click on the directory and that will bring up this directory of community groups and organisations, as well as the commercial sector in the second half of it.
Yep. Yeah. It's good. It's an absolute, like you say, Tex, it is a bible.
That's right.
Now, the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre is looking for drivers. They need drivers, we need drivers, to transport HIV-positive people to and from medical appointments. All you need is a car, a reliable car, obviously. Uh-huh. All costs are going to be reimbursed, so you don't need to worry about that. You're not going to be out of pocket at all. And to find out more about this, along with other volunteering opportunities, contact Shane, who's the volunteer coordinator, who we interviewed a couple of weeks ago here on Well. He can be contacted on 9865 6700. So that's Shane on 9865 6700.
That's right, and that's the number, of course, for the Victorian AIDS Council that Ilan mentioned earlier when he was talking about the Staying Negative website. And I thought we should just let people know that website address for Staying Negative. It's stayingnegative.net.au. So that's Staying Negative, one word, stayingnegative.net.au.
And I'm just going to quickly squeeze a tiny other little thing in.
Oh, really? What are you going to squeeze in, Jill?
A piece of information. The Country Awareness Network is based in Bendigo, and they provide information, all kinds of information, for gay and lesbian people and anyone from the GLBTIQ community around, well, all manner of things, whether it be support groups or about information about STIs. For people in rural and regional Victoria. And if you want to check them out, you can, and I use that word intentionally. Their website is
of course, yes.
www.can.org.au. Check them out.
That's right. And they're a great organisation. So if you're listening in Bendigo, Google them or go to their website, can.org.au. They have services for all over rural and regional Victoria.
Yep, they do. They're terrific.
Really, really great people. Adam and the team. Adam's one of the workers, and they have a huge number of volunteers who do all sorts of fantastic stuff.
They're wonderful.
That's can.org.au. Jill, I don't believe it, but we're coming up towards the end of the
show
again.
I just looked at the time, text, and I was quite overwhelmed.
Where does the hour go?
I really have no idea.
Now, last week, the show coming up after us, by the way, is Theme Party, and then at 10 o'clock is Hide and Seek with Dean and James, which is the program all about sex. But last week, Theme Party, now, I'm sure it was either snow. You think it was winter. I'm not sure which one it was, but I know that they played lots of Winter Wonderland type music.
Oh, I know.
And it was really gorgeous.
They did Winter in some... Oh, I can't remember the name of the song, but it was an Australian guy singing about snowing and making love, waking up making love to strangers. I just remember that line going, oh, so tragic.
So this week, the theme for Theme Party is heat.
Heat. So stick around to see how that relates to cold weather.
Indeed.
To sing us out, though, Tex, is A Small Slice of Heaven by the Lightning Seeds.
It is indeed. Now, have you got a hello?
I'm helloless.
Are you?
Yeah.
You don't want to say hello to Harry?
I'll say hello to Harry.
Okay, so say hello to Harry, John, Deb, and to Abby, my good mate in London, who's probably listening right now. So good on you, Abs. Great to
Abby.
Talk to you. We'll be back next week with more exciting news on this gorgeous show, Well, from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. But right now it is that gorgeous song, A Small Slice of Heaven by the Lightning Seeds. Cheers, everyone. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.